morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 116, verse 7. Psalm 116, verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I want to read it in the NIV. It says, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, that you have been good to us, that you have dealt bountifully with us, and I pray that our hearts, our souls would be able to return to that place of rest as we come into your presence this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us and guide us, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love that verse. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I hope every person here and listening the message today would be able to return to that place of rest in the Lord, to that settled place, you know, where your heart is not in turmoil and just going up and down and you're in emotional distress, but that you would be able to enter into that place of rest, that place of just being settled in Him. I wanted to talk a little bit when I was reading through this passage, trying to pray about what to share at EMP. I came to this text and I thought, well, maybe this is something that we could share today. It's about this idea of how does God guide His children? You know, the topic of guidance, how God guides His children. And there are two ways of looking at Christian guidance. The traditional view on guidance is maybe kind of what we typically try to practice here at SP, which is we pray about a situation and we try to hear from God. So should I, you know, I don't know, should I become a pastor here at SP? The position's been offered to me. Should I, you know, say yes or no? And we go to God and we try to hear from God. And when God speaks to us and we hear a yes in our hearts, then we know that God is guiding us to that, to say yes to this position. Right? That's the traditional way of viewing guidance, you know. We wouldn't typically ask this, but, you know, where should we go for lunch? Maybe we would, right? We might just feel like, you know, my Holy Spirit wants me to ask, so God, where do you want me to go for lunch today? Maybe God has a specific place for us in mind, and we pray, and then we feel like God is dropping, I don't know, choy wah or whatever, into our hearts, and we say, we're going to go there. That's the traditional view on guidance. And there is a second way of viewing guidance. The first way, I think, is how we most often operate in our church, in our tradition. Sorry, the charismatic church. But the second way of viewing guidance is called the wisdom view. And this way is where we look at guidance as not just so direct. God, what are you saying to me about this particular situation? Let me hear from that. Until I hear from you, I'm not going to move. The wisdom view is we trust God to, let me make sure, is we don't focus, the focus is not on there is a particular situation and I want to make sure that I make the right decision in this particular situation by hearing from God a specific answer. The focus is becoming the right person, right? The focus is I'm going to grow in the Lord, I'm going to grow in the Word, and I'm going to become the right kind of a person in Him, that when I make a decision, it'll be the right decision. It'll be a godly decision, right? The focus is not so much, I need to get specific answer right, and so that I can make sure I make the right decision. It's more so, how can I become the right person? You know, I trust God. How can I become the kind of person that is selfless, sacrificial, faithful, and full of faith, led by the Holy Spirit, intimate with the Lord? And you focus on that, and then you trust that as you are in that place of being close to God, being humble before Him, being selfless, being led by faith, all these things, you know that as you make a decision in this situation, you make the right decision. I like it. I like it. This is knowing what is God's will, just in the general sense. Know what is the will of God? What is the heart of God in general? And then making a decision that aligns with that heart of God, with that will of God. Which is more important? I think both, you know, radical middle again. I think we have to have both. One, yeah, of course, we want to hear from God. I think we never want to just assume that we make a decision because I'm so close to God, I'm sure it's the right decision. No, we don't want to ever assume. We always want to go to God and pray. But I think at the same time, I think if we focus too much on that, it's too crazy. Sometimes if when we focus too much on hearing from God, that's when, if we take it to the extreme, we can enter into like manipulation, you know. Sometimes you have a discussion. It happens, right? When Christians discuss a topic and we have to make a decision on something, you're in a committee or whatever, and somebody says, inevitably somebody will say, well, I heard from God that we should do this. What are you going to say to that? How can you disagree with that person and say, well, I don't care what God says. I think this is a better idea. You can't have a discussion when you start using that kind of language. And I think that's maybe the negative side of always only doing this thing of, I just hear from God and do what's right. So, I think in general, we operate in both anyway. But yeah, so I want to focus on the second way, the wisdom view, where we become the kind of person. And from that place, I want to share what I just read today. It says in Psalm 116, it says, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to me. My brother Matt is here today, and we try to have a call once a week. And so one of the questions Matt asks me from the time to time is this, actually. I don't know if it's coming from this text, but he always says, are you in a place of rest? Are you in a place of peace? Right? Because that's so important. If our heart is not in a place of rest, and if our heart is not in a place of peace, what happens? We often end up making a wrong decision or a bad decision. There was a book that I read when I was younger, when I was in college, or maybe just out of college, and it's called something like Listening to God in Times of Choice by Gordon Smith. He was a president, I think, of Regent College in Vancouver for a while. And he borrows this idea from Ignatius of Loyola. But I don't know too much about it. It's an old Catholic father, you know. But Gordon Smith borrows this idea from me. I just want to make sure I credit the right person. But I heard it from Gordon Smith. And of course, I'm not giving you the full picture, but what he says in the book that really just stuck out to me, even at that young age, college or just out of college, was he says, a lot of the times when we make a bad decision is because we are making a decision from a place of what he calls desolation. And he would suggest that we have to make sure that we come to a place of consolation before we make a decision. And so the example that I think of is sometimes people come to, you know, in pastoral counseling or whatever, friendships, people come to you and they say, man, I hate my job, I hate my boss, you know, I'm so miserable, and, you know, you're just full of desolation. You look at your heart and just negative emotion after negative emotion, and you're fearful, you're stressed out, and you are bitter, resentful, all these things happening. So what Gordon Smith would say is, that's the worst time for you to make a decision on your career, for you to hear from God, right? So what he says is, you need to do whatever you need to do to return to your rest, right? To get into a place of consolation where in your heart you have peace. And the inner disposition of your heart is not anger, bitterness, whatever, stress, anxiety, but it's the inner disposition of your heart is joy, is peace, it's this confidence in the Lord, it's this security in God. And then you can attempt to discern the will of God, and attempt to hear from God. And I think in my life, I was maybe 21, 22 when I read it, and maybe 15 years of my life or so, I have tried to practice it, and I must say, it really helps me. If you know you're in a place of desolation and you just hate your job, well, of course, the will of God that you discern is leave your job, quit, do something else. Was it the will of God, or is it just the misery in your heart that is leading you? It's very hard to discern, right? So you have to come to a place where we return to our rest in the Lord. I have another verse, Psalm 94. You can turn with me. Psalm 94, verse 19. In the NASB, it actually says this: when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolation delight my soul. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. How do we come to a place of consolation? It's simple. It's basically going to God, spending time with God, return to your rest in the Lord, meditating on His goodness. The verse we read is, For the Lord has been good to you. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you. So you meditate on all of His goodness and His kindness and His faithfulness so far, how He has led you. And that brings us to a place of rest. But also, I think simply just going into the presence of God and spending time with Him. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me. I love this verse. You know why? Because I have a lot of anxious thoughts. My mom always has had a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry about so many different things. And I think some of that generationally has been passed down to me. And I find myself, it's not so much anymore, but when I was a little younger, a lot of anxiety. And I would love this verse. And I said, God, I need to come to you to make sure I have your consolation. I have your peace. Because I can't function. Sometimes when you have a lot of anxiety, you're just paralyzed. You know, you can't function. You can't make a decision. You can't hear the guidance of God. And just one more verse, and then we can close, and Matthew will lead us in a song. But let's go to Psalm 73. Sorry. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 15 to 17. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. It's Asaph that is writing this psalm. And what he's saying is, before he says this verse, he's been kind of saying that he found himself in a place of envy. He found himself in a place of jealousy. He found himself in a place of desolation. He found himself in a place where he's looking at the world and looking at people that are not God-fearing, but they seem to be doing so much better than him. And so he's questioning God. He's questioning, why am I, you know, even trying to obey God and fear God and follow him? They're doing so much better and I'm miserable. And he found himself in that place. And he's saying in verse 15, if I had spoken out like this, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. I would have imparted something negative, something bad to the generation of your children. So he says, I didn't say it. Instead, what did he do in verse 16? When I ponder to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. And then I perceived their end. I love that. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, and then I perceived. Before he entered into the sanctuary of God, when he was away from the presence of God and is looking at the world and is trying to make sense of what is going on, maybe trying to make sense of, why is my life so miserable? You know, everybody else seems to be doing so much better. He can't perceive the truth. And he's filled. He says, I was like a brute beast before God, filled with all this negativity. And then he comes into the sanctuary of God. And then he is able to perceive the truth. He perceives their end. And he perceives his end in the Lord. And then he comes to a place of peace. And so, yeah, I want to encourage you this morning. Whether you're in a place where you need to make a decision or discern the will of God, or you're looking for guidance from God, I think in general, if our inner disposition is one of desolation, we're missing out. You know, Gordon Smith also goes on in his book, just talks about the importance of our emotional being, like our emotional state, and how there is an emphasis in Scripture on our emotions, right? Paul talks about the peace of God that transcends understanding. Jesus says, you know, I'm saying this to you so that your joy would be complete. There is this idea that in the Lord, we're meant to, in general, walk in consolation, walk in peace, walk in joy. And if you find yourself in a place where you're just constantly, consistently in desolation, man, we got to return to the Lord, you know, find that peace in him, with the caveat that sometimes our consolation can be deceptive. Sometimes it's the enemy just bringing, you know, so we have to be careful. We don't just rely on our emotions, of course. Sometimes we need to feel a little desolate. That brings us to God. If a certain situation really is angers God, you know, then we need to also be angry and upset about those situations. So I'm not saying we base everything on how we feel, but it is a good guide or a gauge of where we're at. So, yeah, let's just read that text one more time. Psalm 116, verse 7 in the NIV. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. If Matthew can come and lead us in a song, let's do that right now. Let's go to our Father in heaven. Let him give you rest. Let him bring you to that place of peace and consolation and understanding. And let's bring all of our anxiety and our negative thoughts, negative emotions, our fear and our stress to him. Thank you.
How can I perceive your beauty? I long to see your face, Jesus. Our soul sings out to you this morning.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. If there's anyone on earth that was walking in consolation, it was Jesus. And God, Jesus, we want to be more like you. We want to walk in that kind of closeness with the Father. Walking in that kind of confidence and trust and joy and peace. And also knowing your heart. So, more of you, less of me. More of you, less of ourselves, God. Yes, God, we need you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We worship you. Worship you, God. Let's pray together for our community. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer and going through chemotherapy. If you look at the third person, Mingbin, actually, she's been doing quite well, but her CEA level doubled, which is a bad sign. So she's trying to go back to... she goes to this place in China for this treatment. So she's trying to go back. So if you pray for her, please, for healing and for strength for her, that she wouldn't be discouraged. And let's continue to pray for the rest of the people on this list. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are battling an illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray that God would speak to their hearts, bring them into a relationship with Himself. Let's also pray for healing. Let's pray for those with various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing to come upon our friends. Yeah, let's pray. Let's go to the ones looking for a job. Let's pray for God's guidance over them and that they will not be discouraged. Let's pray that they will continue to have hope and faith and that God will lead them to the perfect place. Let's pray. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for our church plant in Singapore with Pastor Sam Kim, in not in Indonesia, but our Indonesian ministry here in Hong Kong with Pastor Salamat, and also our Filipino ministry here in Hong Kong with Ernie. And let's pray for SPNY in New York. Let's pray for Ruth and Jess and Kelly as they lead this church. Let's pray. Let's pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for Pastor Mary and Lisa that lead SP Kids, for Donald and Caleb as they lead SP Youth, and for Pastor Andrew as he leads SPU. Let's pray that it will be a fruitful ministry, that all these young people, even children, would encounter God and begin to have a real, genuine relationship with God. Let's pray. Let's pray for our prayer ministries, our healing ministries, IP, the intercessory prayer team, The Well, which is our physical healing ministry, and River, which is our inner healing ministry. Matt leads IP. Let's pray for him. And Rachel leads The Well and River. So let's pray for her and pray for their family and pray for protection. Pray for anointing and fruitfulness in this ministry. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for our Thursday outreach, which is homey outreach, reaching out to the poor in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the team and whoever will go out. Let's pray for just an anointed and powerful time. And let's continue to pray for our city, our home, Hong Kong. Praise God for relative peace so far. Let's continue to pray not just for peace to be maintained, but let's pray for the government. Let's pray that there will be justice and righteousness in this place. Care for the poor, the wealth gap to be reduced, and for the churches to rise up. Just the same things that we pray for, but let's just pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for God's mercy and God's will to be done here in this place. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. God, I pray for our church. Let us return, God, to our rest. That our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions will return to that place of rest, to that settled place, God, that we wouldn't be... we wouldn't remain in that place of brokenness or bitterness or anxiety, stress, but that you would lead us, God, into that place of rest and consolation in you so that we may discern your voice and help us to take the time that is necessary for us to do that. And a supernatural kind of rest, God, a peace that transcends understanding. So I just pray for that for over our church. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And help us to have a lot of faith, God, today as we pray and as we walk with you. And may we think about you throughout the day and give you our hearts, give you our give you all the glory. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a great day today.